For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelations 19 and 10. True prophecy will always point to Jesus. They were shepherds and priests, royal counselors. They were men called by God to deliver his message to his people. They would speak what had been spoken to them by God, and oftentimes they would find themselves facing great danger from those the message was intended for. They were run out of town, they were challenged, and yet they could be found standing firmly towards each aggression that came against them, because they had heard directly from God, and he had commanded them what to say and what to do, and their fear of him was greater than their fear of man. They spoke messages of warning, of condemnation, of judgment, of lament, and of the hope of restoration. It was both a privilege and a burden to do the work asked of them. Honoring God, they went out to make aware their countrymen the call of God to repent and to return to him. They are the prophets. The definition of a prophet is one who speaks openly, a proclaimer of a divine message. The prophet was one upon whom the Spirit of God rested. Through them, God spoke to the people of what was, of what is, and what is to come. Men such as Isaiah, Moses, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Hosea, and Elijah, to name a few, these were those whose messages helped to shape Israel's history and helped to shape our day in the future that lies before us. Through each of their messages would come the message of salvation, of a Messiah who would come, and through him of the future hope of eternal life to all who would believe in him. The Old Testament prophet Micah spoke of the Messiah's birth in Bethlehem. Micah 5 and 2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." And the fulfillment of that prophecy approximately 700 years later in Luke 2. "So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son." Now, some will say that there were a lot of babies born in Bethlehem, but no other was of immaculate conception, for Mary was found to be of child through the Holy Spirit, and the Son to be born, the Son of God, now also to be the Son of Man. The prophet Isaiah spoke of the one who was to come and of how he would be rejected by the people in Isaiah 53. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." The fulfillment of it approximately 700 years later in Mark 15. "What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" Pilate asked. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" And wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers, they put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. They mocked him. The prophet Zechariah would speak of the Messiah's entry into the city of Jerusalem for Passover, the week that he would be arrested and crucified. Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." The fulfillment of it approximately 700 years later in Luke 19. "And those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked him, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' And they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road." Prophets were given messages of remembrance for the people, of from where they have come and of what they have done. Even as judgment fell upon them, they were often given cause to repent and to return to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Prophets were given messages of foretelling. People, stop and look at what you are doing. Repent and return to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:3, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, their encouraging, and comfort. And prophets were given messages foretelling the future. From Ezekiel 18, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. These words of God, as they unfolded, always held within them the hope of life. But you have to move, to participate, to anticipate, embrace the truths that they hold. Prophecy is an unfolding of God's plan for humanity. It unifies his words and his actions. He says what it is that he will do, and he does what he has said will be done. Prophecy is, for us, a heads up, a call to reflection, a call to examination, a call to prepare the way for the Lord, for he comes, and to some his coming will mean eternal separation, and for others it will mean eternal life. Our choices and who we follow and what we believe will reveal the truth that is in us, something that we cannot hide from God, but can mask and hide from ourselves. Prophecy, when understood, points to Christ and salvation, to commands of obedience, to our action and sufferings, to the promises of God, of which none that were written shall ever be broken. Amos 3:7, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The Lord reveals his intentions and desires to them, and they in turn give his message to us. In Deuteronomy 28, God gives to the people through Moses the outlines of blessings, prosperity through obedience to God's word, or of the suffering and exile through curses by disobedience to that same word. In Deuteronomy 30:19, God declares to them that they must choose. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Again and again, he would call to those choosing rebellion. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. This is a call to get up from where you are. Yes, even to us today, walk away from who you were and live the life you were called to live. A life holy and righteous. One you can only find in Jesus, understand through the Holy Spirit. One given you out of mercy by God the Father. Jesus from the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Blessings and not curses. Eternal life, not the pain and suffering or separation of hell. Just is the Lord. He forewarns, foretells his plans for us. We are then, through free will, given the opportunity to take him at his word or ignore the options he presents to us, thus denying ourselves a relationship steeply deeped in love and the blessings that will pour forth from it. Should you choose to deny him, the choices that you make and what he does with your choices as he looks upon them is just. Forgiveness can only be found in the name of Jesus. The prophets were a gift to the people then. They are a gift to us today. God is the same today as he was the day that he gave his word through them. The books are now closed, and nothing can be added or subtracted. But by seeking understanding of them, then can the fulfillment of these prophecies be understood. His words, his announcements, We're meant to cause a stirring in us, a moving of our hearts, both in repentance for past and present choices and in anticipation of those things yet to come. What in your life reveals where you stand today in your relationship with Him, in your belief? Do you celebrate life or do you hate the thought of tomorrow? Nothing stays the same, but you have opportunities and options. The question is, do you have the will or the desire to seek them out and obey them, even when they seem impossible for you to accomplish? Remember that all things are possible with God. If you are having trouble believing, read the prophecies given and the records of their fulfillment, and then be amazed at the things that God can and does do. How great is our God, and worthy of all our praise.